If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ray. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Today, we're going to be talking about Matt Walsh versus Andrew Tate. And I specifically want to highlight that Matt Walsh is using the best argument against Andrew Tate and his influence and movement that I'm not seeing a whole lot from people in the church. Specifically, you know, the feminists aren't going to make these arguments. And I know I've made some of the arguments that Matt Walsh has made, but I wanted to highlight him doing it because this is how it's done and it has had incredible results. So you see someone with a very large platform make the right case, and this is how you would combat. I think Andrew Tate's influence can be dangerous if he weren't kind of such a joke, but nonetheless, this is how you would actually go about fighting his ideas rather than just saying he's a terrible person or stuff like that, or castigating people, which is what we have seen from Christian media. So we're going to talk about this, but first I want to let you know Evangelical Dark Web is a Christian news gathering and commentary ministry. You can support our work over at Evangelical Dark Web's Patreon-like system, but the least you can do is like this video, subscribe to the channel, to the podcast if you're new. We also have a free newsletter that gives you Christian news in your inbox each and every day. There's more articles than videos/podcasts, so definitely want to do that. This is sort of the catalyst for this. There's a couple things that are ongoing at the moment, but the biggie is that this dude, astronomer CEO, I guess astronomer is the name of the company, caught on camera with the HR chief during Coldplay concert in Boston. And, you know, this guy was ashamed of his sin. And because of his shame, he actually got caught. Like, if he had done nothing, you know, nothing would have happened. But because he was ashamed of his sin, because he knew what he was doing was wrong, he actually outed himself. So it's kind of, you know, a funny twist of irony. So it's gone viral. A lot of people have talked about this. And then Matt Walsh said, one of my least popular but still correct opinions is that adultery should be a criminal offense punishable by serious prison time for both parties involved. So, you know, base take. But, you know, Andrew Tate does respond. And he and a lot of his people, some people in the manosphere have been basically saying that marriage is not beneficial for men. Men should not get married and they should instead sleep around, sow wild oats. And what they're arguing is that, and they're convincing a lot of people that marriage is not worth it, that marriage is too high risk. And this is something that we need to combat because, first of all, it is incumbent on us to be fruitful and to multiply. That is the dominion mandate. And second of all, it is the right thing to do. It is what we are called to do. We are not called to be useless members of society. We are called to form families and pass on our legacy. So this is all part of, you know, being a good Christian, being a good citizen. And Andrew Tate, because he's, you know, not really an American, not really a Christian, not really any of these things, you know, doesn't really care, and it shows. So this is an ongoing debate about convincing men that, hey, getting married is worth it, you should do this. And I will add one thing. Matt Walsh says, I disagree, loyalty and integrity are essential virtues for a man. If you make a vow before God, you keep it. Sneaking around with another woman while your wife is at home with your children is a violation of the promise you made to her and to God, and therefore unmanly and weak. So he's bringing up the oaths and By the way, that would make adultery not only a seventh commandment violation, but it would also make it a third commandment violation, because that has to do with making oaths before God. That's why you see in the Old Testament, especially when someone makes an oath, it often causes a regrettable situation, like in the book of Judges and stuff like, and there's other stories like that. Saul tried to make a regrettable oath as well. So, because the third commandment is that highly esteemed, the Ten Commandments are in order. So, yes, the violating a vow to God is a severe sin, in addition to the adultery part. So, Andrew Tate does actually agree with this. You know, it's not that he disagrees with the part about making upholding your vows and being an oath keeper. The part that he disagrees with is making the oath at all. And here's one thing that'll add to what Matt Walsh said. In addition to loyalty and integrity being essential virtues, I've definitely said that loyalty is a virtue of our time. So I agree with that 100%. I would also say that being risk adverse is manly, that, you know, being willing to take risk is manly. Being unwilling to take any risk is not manly, is oftentimes effeminate. So that's something that we also need to keep in mind in convincing men that, hey, marriage is worth it. So, you know, I've been married 8 years for the record, just my perspective. And no, it has not always been easy. In fact, I don't know if it's ever really been easy. So with that said, this is Matt Walsh's killer argument, though. So we haven't even gotten to that. This is the killer argument. This sets up the setup you describe, because it should be important to note, Andrew Tate has talked about, hey, make a bunch of kids, have a bunch of kids, provide for your kids being the ideal best option for men. So telling men to get married and just be loyal gets men wrecked. The only way they hold the relationship together is to give up any ounce of masculinity, living hell. The smartest move on the chessboard for a man now is to get rich and have as many children as he wants from as many women as he wants and take care of them all. So, you know, Elon Musk is doing this. Andrew Tate claims he's doing this. And Matt Walsh has an excellent response. The setup you describe, where men have children by lots of different women, has already been tried. We've seen it in primitive cultures, and we see it today in the most dysfunctional, filthy, and crime-ridden communities in America. This kind of setup is natural in the sense that it appeals to our most based and uncivilized impulses. It's primitive and animalistic, which is why it's so commonly found in the animal kingdom. Reptiles and monkeys behave this way, but we are human beings. And that is a killer argument. You're not going to see your woke Christian Post author make that argument because it's kind of racist. But anyway, I don't care about that. Matt Walsh continues, monogamy and the nuclear family call us to something higher. It is not natural, but supernatural. Man and wife become one at the altar in a mystical, though still very real way. This is perhaps a riskier and more difficult path, but a man should not shy away from the riskier and more difficult path, the greatest happiness and most meaningful successes in life are found down this path. One other point, if you want boys to become men, you cannot leave them to be raised almost entirely by women. And this is another excellent point. I believe it was first made by the movie Fight Club, you know, who talked about men being raised by women because of divorce, of the, you know, sexual revolution. Boys need the daily guidance and example that can only be provided by a man who lives in the home and has committed himself to that family and that family alone. You are captain of the ship. You need to be on the ship. You need to eat and sleep there and walk the deck with your crew. You need to be there when the storm comes. So excellent 10 out of 10 post by Matt Walsh. And everything he said here is right. And there is somewhat of a debate in Christian communities about this. Like, again, on the polygamy issue, specifically one man, multiple wives, because there's no way you could justify from Scripture one woman having multiple husbands. That's just That's unthinkable in scripture. But a man multiplying his wives, completely thinkable in scripture. And you see the rich doing that. It could be a welfare thing. Maybe Boaz could have had multiple wives. It doesn't say that in the Bible. So the question is, does the Bible condemn this practice? And short answer, not really. Longer answer being, there's an ideal that's pointed to. Like, the ideal that God created was one man and one woman. And usually, if someone wants to multiply his wives, there's a sinful reason for that. This isn't Jacob wanting to marry one girl and then having to marry her sister also. That's not exactly the same as going on here, you know, with the modern sister wives or these other people that want to really just have sexual kingdoms for themselves. They're not, you know, usually these people aren't even super rich or anything like, you know, like a King David or someone who multiplied his wives because he had a lot. So this is something that the church largely gets from tradition, and that tradition didn't necessarily start in the church. It started with the Roman Empire. Now, the Roman Empire had easy divorce, but they did not have multiple wives. That was not a thing with ancient Rome. You could get easy divorce. You could click your heels and get divorced, but you could not multiply your wives in ancient Rome. And the church said, yeah, we're going to keep this practice because this points to the biblical ideal, and ultimately it promotes virtue in the church and, broadly speaking, general society. So this is a good practice that the church adopted from the Roman Empire and said, yes, this points to the teachings, this aligns with the teachings of Jesus, this aligns with the created order and the ideal for creation. And the church that followed the Western path really stuck with this. Not as much the case, it seems, in the more African church, where multiplying wives is a little bit more of a common practice in Africa, that is. So all that to say is Matt Walsh is completely correct in that primitive cultures practice this, where some stupid strongman is able to get a lot of babies made that are low IQ, maybe muscular, who knows. But there's a lot of, let's just get really down to it, because it is sort of like a eugenics that's practiced. Western culture practiced a eugenics where not only did people able to get married, so there's monogamy practice, so people got married to, you know, there's more genetic diversity being produced, but they also, you know, through executions and capital punishment, they culled a lot of the criminal activity. In the third world cultures, their ancestors, again, had harems and stuff like that. So you had less genetic diversity from a patrilineal standpoint. And let's be real, maybe the patrilineal stock wasn't exactly great because, it was, you know, maybe they're strong, but they weren't smart. So they had brute strength, brute force, but not really intelligence or the ability to suppress and control base desires and instincts. And that is passed down from generation to generation. So with that said, monogamy has been excellent for the development of Western culture in the West and Western peoples. It is very important, I think, from a historical perspective, that Europeans rejected, for the most part, polygamy, whereas the Third World embraced it. And I think there are genetic consequences to that, including genetic predispositions to not be able to pair bond. So those are some thoughts on that. We just got to be real about, hey, sin is passed down from generation to generation. And, you know, it does affect the flesh. But at the same time, you know, Jesus changes that. Jesus changes the flesh. Always got to remember that. So that's true for Andrew Tate. His flesh can get, you know, changed by the power of the gospel, hopefully, and his desires aligned with the power of the gospel. But, you know, part of that aligning your desires with the power of the gospel usually involves getting married and being productive, being a provider for your household, being there for your household, and not just letting your kids get raised by your baby mamas. So that's all I got to say about that for now. My name is Ray, the Evangelical Dark Web. Have a blessed day. Stay based. Christ is King. And we will catch you on the next one.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.